feel all righteousness. We're gonna get up in this word a little while. Amen. I'm gonna do just one point this morning. Amen. Get you out of here. And while you turn into Acts chapter 10, we probably gonna be honing in, amen, on verse 24. And just a few announcements. Hallelujah. We need to recognize, glory to God, that the basketball season for Philadelphia is getting cranked up, and so all the men, we getting on that time where you got to go ahead, pay your fee, and we lock you in, amen, because the draft is going to be this Thursday, and so go ahead, pay your fee between this Sunday and Tuesday, amen, and we're going to have a good time, amen. Talk to the commissioner because we got some new developments in regards to basketball. We kind of mixing some things up so everybody can get a chance to fellowship with everybody. Amen. Besides that, you wanna also be paying attention to our DC trip. Amen. School of Hebrews going to DC. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And we've been getting an awesome response already. Amen. And people are so excited, amen. They signing up from cities all over the country, amen, just to come on in, amen. And I'm sitting down, amen, on my computer. And my wife is on her computer, and she's telling me the cities that they signing up from. She say, oh, this one from that. And I'm just we just get excited, amen, because God is, amen. He's calling a holy assembly in D.C., amen. And he's calling the dry bones together. He's calling us from the different parts, amen, of the country. And he's telling his people, come. He's telling them, come. God, come to D.C., amen. And so it would be a travesty, amen, if you could make it and you wouldn't come, Philly. And so do your best, amen, to get out there. We've been trying to get a bus situated for you. We've even gotten a smaller, cheaper bus, amen. So that's still an option. Amen. And plane tickets are pretty reasonable right now if you get them right now. Amen. And First Lady's got all the information. Brother James got all the information on the website about the hotel. Amen. Love, you got anything else about School of the Hebrews? All right. We better get going. Amen. Let me see what else. It's Communion Sunday, y'all. So be praying and asking the Lord to forgive you of known and unknown sin that he would bless our communion time with his presence, as he's already blessed us with his presence this morning. And so listen, let's open up this word and look at Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 24. I don't have much this morning, but amen, hallelujah, God's word is always amazing. The Bible says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that will come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Hebrew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent. For I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the night hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We'll stop right there. Father, we pray you had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Saints of God, we've been talking about Peter. Amen. For the book of Acts kind of switches and is want to focus in on Peter's ministry. It's going to do that until about chapter 13, and then it's going to switch to the Apostle Paul. And the switch, like I said, amen, is actually a switch that happens in the dispensation. For Peter's the apostle of the Hebrews, and Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. And we're going to watch, amen, as the church goes from being, amen, heavily Hebrew to heavily Gentile focus, amen. And so the Bible is following with the plan and the mystery of God as it switches from the Hebrews to the Gentiles. In chapter 10, we watch, amen, a full manifestation of this. We see the church and the gospel go to the first Gentile, amen. We introduce to a man by the name of Cornelius. And in fact, Cornelius is the first Gentile convert of the new covenant, of the New Testament. He's the first born again believer who's a Gentile, amen. We're told a lot about Cornelius, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit, amen. But we are seeing the church and the gospel move from the Hebrews to the Gentiles. And it was always God's plan, amen, for we rejected his Messiah, if you remember. And because of that, amen, the gospel would go out to the Gentiles. But it was all a part of God's plan because he says blindness in part had happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles would become in. But what we have to understand is that that's just the A part of the plan. But that a B part of the plan is happening even as we speak right now. Where the Gentiles are slowing down from entering church, from wanting the things of God. They're slowing down from loving the things of God, actually going back to a lot of their paganistic and heathenistic ways. And the Hebrews, the real biblical Hebrews, are the ones that are awakening and packing church up again. Anybody hear me up again, all right? Anybody hear what I'm saying? And listen, you could say what you want, but listen, like Martin Luther King says, truth go through stages. Amen. First is ridicule. Amen. And then, listen, it's fought tooth and nail and persecuted, and then it's accepted. And that's what this truth is going to do. It's going to be laughed at, ha-ha, they the Hebrews. Yeah, sure, right. And then they're going to say, then they're going to get mad about it. And then they're going to say, wait, look at all of their churches. Look at their preachers. Look at their worshipers. Look at their anointing, gifts, and talents. Look at their capital. Look at their income. Look at their skill and understanding. Look at them. Something strange has happened. Somebody say a shift. So what we're seeing in chapter 10 is the first shift from the Hebrews to the Gentiles. And it all happens with this man, Cornelius. And to do this, to get the gospel to the Gentiles, remember, God has to prepare two men. He has to prepare this Gentile by the name of Cornelius, but he also has to prepare the Apostle Peter. So we've been talking about that. We talked about our first point, Cornelius, a man from Caesarea and centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He led a group of about 100 Roman soldiers. He was mighty. He was a valiant warrior. Amen. But he was also devoted to the true God of Israel. He was devoted to Yahweh. Amen. He prayed when the Hebrews prayed. He gave alms to the people of the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. They said that he was a part of the Italian band. So he was this is the first European convert right here. He was Italian. You know? Somebody say Italian. All right? He's born again. All right? Point number two, God sends him an angel. Because he's good in prayer. He's good as almsgiving. He's got all these good works. But he's missing something. Anybody know what he's missing? He's missing Jesus. Yeah, he don't have the gospel. Our works can't save us. And so God sends him an angel. And the angel tells him, call for Simon Peter. Point number three, we pick up with Peter. And right when Cornelius sent men to go get Peter, Peter feels led to go up in prayer. Peter goes on the rooftop, on the housetop, to pray. All right? And as he's praying, he sees a sheet come down. Y'all remember that? It's got all kind of animals in it. And a voice from heaven say, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter, missing the message, said, no, Lord. He said, I haven't eaten anything unclean or common ever, ever. But what Peter was on the old plan. And God had already moved to a new plan. Anybody hear me up in here? And God was revealing two mysteries. God would have never asked Peter to kill and eat unclean animals if that dietary law stuff wasn't over. That's number one. That was the first revelation. And I showed you in 1 Timothy, amen, chapter 4, how the New Testament made that transition. All creatures are created by God, and they are good, and they are sanctified through thanksgiving. Y'all remember we said that? All right? Now, while you wouldn't want to eat anything for health reasons, all right, for spiritual and salvation reasons, it makes absolutely no difference, all right? Absolutely no difference. But bigger than the dietary laws, God was speaking to Peter about unclean and clean people, Hebrew and Gentile people. And he was telling Peter not only the law in its dietary aspect, but the law in its separation between Hebrew and Gentile. That middle wall of partition was broken at the cross of Calvary. Anybody hear me up? All right? So you don't have to be separate with them anymore like that. Because that wall is broken. And he told Peter, he said, Peter, don't you dare call something unclean or common that I have cleaned. All right? All right? Don't you dare call somebody unclean when I done washed them with the blood, Peter. All right? That's an insult to the Most High. So we see in a shift happening. Somebody say shift. After Peter gets up, the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and told him, arise and go. Right when the men was coming knock to get him from Cornelius, the Holy Spirit says, some men coming by to pick you up. Amen. Go with them doubting nothing. Peter come to the door. While they at the door, Peter say, I'm the one you're looking for. Let's go. Right? We're going to pick up in point number 5. Somebody say, stand up.
Stand up.
That's our point today. And we're picking up, amen, right there with Peter on his way to see Cornelius, on his way to get a gospel to the first Gentile convert, where the church is going to make this shift. The anointing is going to shift from the Hebrews to the Gentiles. And let me tell you something here. In my mind, from a political, socioeconomic, and historical standpoint, in my mind, when that shift happens, amen, historically, the Gentiles are forever changed. They are forever changed. I'm talking about their cities. I'm talking about their inventions. I'm talking about the Industrial Revolution. I'm talking about the Protestant work ethic. I'm talking about their educational systems. I'm talking about everything changes when the anointing shifts. Why are you telling me that, Pastor? Because everything will change again when it shifts back. Woo-hoo-hoo! And those that are sensitive to it can feel it happening even now. I don't know about you, brother-in-law. My mind is different. I look at opportunities differently. I see things differently, sister-in-law. Are you watching your mind lately? Pennies to dimes. Somebody say, stand up.
Stand up.
Here we go, here we go. Verse 24. It's our only point. We're just going to cover this, then we're going to get you out of here. 24 says, on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near his friends. Now, this is Peter on his way to Cornelius' house, And look what it says. It says Cornelius, amen, waited for them. All right? This is an awesome, devoted man of God. And when the angel told him that to call for Peter, amen, he's staying put. He's waiting, amen. But watch what else he does. He calls together his kinsmen, that's his family, and what else? And his friends, all right? Because if the angel says Peter has something important to tell Cornelius about the Most High God that's going to change everything, Cornelius is one of them people that's saying, I can't hear this by myself. I'm calling all my family together, all my friends together, and we're going to sit here and wait for the man of God to come. I just can't get this for myself. Boy, I wish I had some Corneliuses up in here. We've been dropping you some heavy knowledge. We've been dropping some things, amen, hallelujah, that's, oh, God. Starting off with the gospel and us being the people. And listen, a time is going to come where you're going to have to be like Cornelius. Where you're going to say, I can't get all this information just for myself. But I want all my family and my friends to get this. It's going to start off with the gospel. Amen. I got to bring them all to come here, Peter. I got to bring them all to come here. All right? I love this about Cornelius. That's why I say in Acts 10:2 that Cornelius, when it originally described him, it said that he feared God, but not just by himself, but what? And his whole house, with all his house. All right? He didn't keep the gospel to himself. Now watch this in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. You got to understand that the houses back then in the Middle East, amen, East Africa, amen. The houses back then in East Africa, all right, because there's no Middle East, y'all. Why in the world the East is the only one that got a middle? Where the Middle West and the Middle North and the Middle South? But they tell us it's the Middle East. There's no Middle East. It's East Africa. It's connected to Africa. They don't want to tell you the promised land connected to Africa because then they would say that the people look like. All right, listen. I'm telling you, why the East is the only one with a middle? I digress. The houses, amen, in East Africa of the Mediterranean, that Mediterranean style, those houses normally have a courtyard. Even if you build one today with the Mexican tiles and stuff like that, amen, they normally put a courtyard in those style houses. And so when the Bible says, and as Peter was coming in, he wasn't entering in to the residence per se, he was entering into the courtyard. Amen. Amen. And there was usually a gate there, and they would open up the gate. And so watch this. Cornelius met him. Cornelius was in the house, but when he heard Peter opening the courtyard gate and coming in, he couldn't wait. So he met him, and watch what he did. He fell down at his feet, and he worshiped him. All right? He worshiped him. All right? And just in defense of Cornelius, Cornelius is a Gentile. All right? He does his best to worship the one and true and living God, but he doesn't know all about him. He knows that an angel spoke to him in bright clothing, telling him to go get Peter and to listen to whatever Peter had to say. And so in Cornelius' mind, this man must be super special. In Cornelius' mind, amen, knowing a little bit about the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew Torah, Cornelius is like, this must be the Messiah right here. So Cornelius falls down and worships Peter, right? In my notes, I need to tell you that there is a propensity in men to worship other men, right? Especially amongst the Gentiles. That's why they have all the different demigods and all the gods, and you got Mars and Pluto, and all of them are just men when you look at them. There's a propensity, and they make these statues of men, Mike, and they worship these statues, all right? It's a propensity in men, but especially the Gentiles, amen. Romans 1, which is Paul's letter to a Gentile church, a Gentile country, a Gentile empire, is the book of what? Book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, he is describing the sin pedigree of the Gentiles. And in that Roman chapter 1, of course, he's going to talk about homosexuality, amen. But also in 1:23, he describes, amen, one of the things that the Gentiles have a propensity of doing. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto what? To corruptible man. Man has a problem, y'all, of worshiping men, right? And Cornelius exemplifies this as soon as Peter walks in. Can't you see it in our day? How people lift up men and women? They lift up kings, queens, popes, priests, pastors, presidents, prime ministers, actors, athletes, academics, entertainers. It strike me funny, Gabe, that these people that act, they know how to memorize a line. These people that are athletes or entertainers that make music, you know what they call them? They call them the stars. And we're quick to say, God, we don't worship stars no more. It's just which stars you're talking about. Are you with me here so far? In the day we living in, men still got a propensity to worship men. All right? I got some pics. Sambu, put them up there for me. Amen. Oh, yeah, they go to the Pope and they kiss his hand. And they call him His Holiness. And all of these, you see, all worship is when you ascribe to someone or something that which belongs to God. All right? And that's when you slip into false worship and idolatry. Watch this. Let me show you this picture right here. Look at him laid out prostrate before, hallelujah, the Pope right here. Amen. But it's not just the Pope. Come on, flip another one. Amen. Yeah. Well, we here. We might as well talk about everything. Now, listen, I know you like people music. But a man can't serve two masters. You're going to either love God or hate the other one. Now listen to me good right here. We got churches on the West Coast that's having whole masses and church services geared to the worship of Beyonce. They call her Queen Bey. That's what they call her. Listen to me good, friends. God don't look highly on things like that. Listen to me good now. God don't look highly on stuff like that. Listen to me good, my people. That's not a Hebrew thing. That's a Gentile thing. We worship Yah. We worship the Most High. We ain't getting into that bowing down and worshiping men and women. Listen, they're not worthy of your worship. They're not worthy of your worship. Listen, if you're worshiping that, then your worship is cheap. A holy, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal God who never changes, never finishes, never diminishes, who came down, loved you so much, died on the cross for you, saved your soul from hell. That's a God that's worthy of worship. Not somebody who can sing a song. Not somebody who can act on a screen. Not somebody that's a sinner like you. Come on, let me set the bone straight. All right? You're in error if you're doing that. They got churches holding services, man. We don't worship men and women. What Cornelius did right then and there, he had a good heart. He was a devout man of God. But sometimes even the people of God can slip into error. Watch your affections towards these people. And the reason God don't want you to worship them and love them too much is because when they slip into error, you're going to slip into error right with them. You see, The whole thing is you never think above men that which is written. That's what the Bible says. And you only follow a man or a woman as long as they follow in Christ. But the moment their path diverges away from Christ is when you say, holla, I'm going with Jesus. And listen, that's for me and First Lady as well, yeah. Follow me as I follow Christ. I love you so much. If there was ever a day, and it's not going to happen, if there was ever a day I stopped following Christ, then don't follow me. Don't follow me. You see? You see? You see? Oh, yeah, because I love him that much. You see? But be by the power of God, it's not going to happen, for I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Yeah, 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 yeah. They have a propensity to worship stars, to worship men and women. Listen, this thing takes effect also through our fixation, amen, on Mary, amen, coming out of that Catholic background. That's just another manifestation of it. It's worshiping a woman. You see? The whole thing about worshiping the saints, Saint this and Saint that, Jude and John, and there's so many saints. So many saints that you pray to. Now remember, you say, I'm not worshiping them, I'm just praying to them. Worship is when you give to something else that which only belongs to God. Your prayer only belongs to God. It don't belong to a man or a woman. It belongs to God. That's worship. That's worship. All right? When you come out there, you say, Hail Mary, that's worship. You're lifting her up, all right? All right? That's worship. And I know I'm rubbing some of y'all the wrong way. Welcome to Philadelphia Christian Church. Amen? All right? Well, we tell the truth on everybody. Amen? Okay? And while this holiday is here, that false religion spirit is got a grip on this city. And I'm sorry, amen, I'm a swordsman by nature. And so when the spirits show up, the sword come out. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Because that's where all that come from, that Mardi Gras, that's where that come from. That's paganism, dating back to Constantine. Worshiping the Roman pagan gods was translated into the saints, into the Catholic Church. All right? It's the same false gods dressed differently. All right? But what it basically comes down to is the worship of men and women, okay? Cornelius did it. Cornelius the Roman was worshiping a man, all right? All right? We got to be careful not to slip into those ways. It is the responsibility of the individual who's receiving this false worship to correct this thing. Are you with me here so far? Because remember, sometimes well-meaning people, amen, can give you too much praise, can give you too much honor, can give you too much esteem. You see, you are great in the Lord, and your giftings are magnificent in Him. And you're going to be able to do the impossible. Amen? For the people who believe in their God shall do great exploits. And in these coming days, amen, people are going to see you and what you do, and you operate in your giftings, and they're going to want to give you glory. It is up to you to set it straight. Are you with me here so far? Watch what Peter does. Cornelius goes down to worship, 26. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. Boy, what are you doing down? Can you see him, Brother Alexander? Peter, look at him. Boy, what are you doing down there? You better get your tail up. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So if it's the responsibility of the vessel, watch this. Why are these people not correcting people? Especially the Pope act like he is from the lineage of Peter, which is a lie. That's a lie. I'm sorry, I got a little heated there. It's a lie. All right? But if you were from the lineage of Peter, you would do what Peter did when somebody tried to worship Peter. Show me that picture again with them laid out. You would stand up and you would get off that throne that you got, Pope, and you would look at all these boys. You would say, stand up, for I myself am also a man. That's what you would do. All right? Because that's what Peter did. Peter didn't let nobody worship him. Why? Peter understood that he was a man as well. What does that mean when he say, I'm a man? That mean I'm a sinner. That mean I need a savior. That mean if you watch me long enough, I'm going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Hey, God, stand up. I myself am also a man. All right? Peter's saying, I'm not worthy of worship. Why are these people not doing this, man? You know, if they had tried to have a mass for me, how I would be outside that church. I might have something in my hand, too, telling everybody, y'all better not come up in there playing around. You know what I'm saying? I'd be chasing them. Get away from here. I guarantee you, if Mary was still alive, Mary would be tripping right now. That sister would be going off. You ever saw a sister lose her mind? Sister would be going off. Flipping tables. That's where Jesus got that from. She'd be flipping tables. I'm just joking. But listen. All right? So why do we pray to these saints if we had to really ask these saints how they felt about that? You think Peter would want us to pray to him? And Peter saying, man, stand up. You see? But it's the propensity of men to worship men. You see? And it's deep in the Catholic Church. Now watch Revelations 19:10. This is John right here. And John in 19 just got a glimpse of what we call the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's right before the end of days where God is going to bring all the saints together and have a big dinner for them. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And John sees this thing, and John is overwhelmed by it. He's just overwhelmed. And he's so overwhelmed, the angel that shows him the marriage supper. John is so overwhelmed, the Bible says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. John is in front of the angel, worshiping the angel. And he said, look at the angel. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. He tells John, don't worship me, worship God. Woo! And what the angel was saying back then, it's just a little debate as far as whether it was an angel or one of the servants. But the angel was saying, I'm a servant too. Don't you bow down before me. All right? That's why I get so nervous about people claiming to be Jesus come back. And some of the Hebrew camps, they got them leaders that claiming to be something. You got to stay away from the Lord's glory. He say he don't share his glory with no one. You saw what he did with Herod when he bust Herod wide open with worms in his gut. Because he didn't give the glory to God. In Revelations 22:9, look what it says here. Then said he unto me, amen. Do you have verse 8? Do you have verse 8, Brent? Look what it says. And I, John, saw these things. Now, John Harvey, he's seeing the new heaven and the new earth. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, the 12 different stones on the foundation. John is seeing the new heaven. Once again, Miss Brother Sam, Miss Leo, look, John is overwhelmed. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I did what? I fell down to worship before the feet of what? Of the angel which showed me this thing. You see, sometimes you could see something that's too much for you. And you don't know what to do. So he fall down, which is good, but don't worship the angel. Look at verse 9. Watch what the angel do. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am, once again, thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Who do we worship? Worship God. All right. I got to give you this. Don't worship no pastor, no first lady, no priest, no pope, no Beyonce, no Jay-Z, no none of them. Don't worship none of them. Who do we worship? We worship God. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Verse 27, so Peter get Cornelius straight. And in 27, and as he talked with him, he went in. Now, how could he go in and Cornelius meet him, and then he go in again? Remember, that's the courtyard. He went in the courtyard, then he went into the house proper. He went in. And when he went into the house proper, look what it says, and found many that were come together. So Peter goes into the house. He sees the crowd gathered of all of Cornelius's friends and family. All right? It was a bunch of Gentiles in that room, y'all. Bunch of Gentiles. It was a room full of Romans up in there. Oh, I don't think y'all get it yet. It was a room full of Romans, y'all. I don't think y'all get it yet, y'all. See, Peter was like an Oreo in a glass of milk. All right? Peter was like a chocolate chip in a bucket of cookie dough for a second. Jen, you would have been all right, but Peter was... Listen. He was like one red bean on a whole plate of rice. Peter walked in there. He was a brother. I'm telling you. And he walked in that room, and it was just them Romans up in there. Somebody say them Romans. Romans. Nothing but them Romans. Them Italians, too. Me mama. Me family. All right? Okay? So you got to see the scene here. It's a Hebrew walking into these Romans. All right? And in 28, I could see Peter, man, bearded down, dreaded down, walking up in there. You see? Probably got a little swagger with him up in there. All right? So Peter walking there. And in verse 28, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Hebrew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Stop right there. Peter hits them with the law, man. Peter said, y'all already know it's unlawful for me to be here. Not just custom, no. According to the law, it's unlawful for me to be here. Because God in Exodus and the Levitical books, amen, he told them, Malvo, you know what I'm saying. Don't keep company with them. Don't associate with them. Don't give your sons and your daughters to them. Stay away from them. All right? So Peter come in and he hit him with the law. He said it's unlawful for a Hebrew to keep company, let alone to go into the home of a person from another nation. It would make the Hebrew ceremonially unclean, polluted, being with the Gentiles. This is important to us today. It's important today because we got a lot of Hebrews that's finding out who we are, and they have the facade of keeping the law. when they don't know what the law really is. You see, to keep the law, you got to understand that it is unlawful for the Hebrews to keep company or to go under the same roof with another nation. Listen to me. Them brothers saying they're keeping something they're not keeping. You want to go back to the law? Then abide by the separation that the law made. And what separation was that? Didn't keep company with the Gentiles, man. Didn't go under the same roof with them, man. So what that mean, Pastor? All that going to work together? Sitting in the same company? Next to the cubicle? And you talk about you a law-keeping Hebrew Israelite? Boy, you better get you another job. Because according to the law, you can't come in to another nation and be under the same roof with them. What are you doing? You working under the same roof? Oh, yeah. Y'all going to Walmart together. Oh, no, 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 no. It's you one of them woke ones. No, no, no. Y'all going to Whole Foods together. But even if you was at Whole Foods under the same roof going in with the Gentiles, you a lawbreaker and you'd go straight to hell. You can't keep the law. Are y'all hearing me up in here? Thank God the law is gone. Thank God it's been abolished. I'm telling you here. Where else we congregate together? What is the city bus? Catching the airplane together? Going to eat at a restaurant together? Living in the same hotel for a little while? That would be against the law. You're coming under the same roof with them. Not only that, I would go as far to say living in the same apartment complex. What I'm trying to tell you is, do not front like you're keeping the law. Because you're not keeping the law. Peter says it's unlawful for me to keep company with them. It's unlawful for me to go under the same roof with them. It's unlawful. Somebody say, but God. Peter knows that a change is coming. Peter knows that the law that kept us separate and mandated separation was about to be broken down, y'all. Watch this in 28. And he said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Hebrew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Watch this. You see how awesome Peter is in tune with his God? God is about to make a switch from one covenant to another covenant. He's about to move the law completely out the way and tell Peter, I'm going to be doing a new thing. Can you dig it? Can you follow me? Can you do something new? Can you roll with me? All right? And Peter is able to do it. I have in my notes, this is the shift right here from Old Testament to New Testament. This is the middle wall partition coming down. This was the that was then to this is now moment right here. Now, in the new covenant, there is no difference between Hebrew and Gentile, between Jew and Greek. Listen to me. If you look at Galatians 26, hallelujah, through 29. Did I send you that scripture, Brother Brent? If not, I'm going to turn to it and read it to you. And look, I'm almost done. I ain't going to keep you much longer. Somebody say Galatians. All right. In Galatians 3 and 26, look what he says. I'm going to read it to you, and they're going to get it up there. He says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No matter what you are, he said, you're all the children of God by faith, by Christ Jesus. Watch this, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into what? Into Christ, have put on Christ. All right? All right, you're saved. You're not your own no more. You don't put on Jesus. In 28, there is neither Hebrew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither even male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Watch this. So in relation to salvation and soteriology, there is no difference between the Hebrew and the Gentile, the Hebrew and the Greek. There's absolutely no difference. The same cross that saved us is the same cross that saved them. Are you with me here so far? Now, a lot of people take this text and they act like it means in regards to everything. All right? And we know that that's not so. All right? This is just in regards to salvation. Pastor, how you know? Well, he says here there's neither male nor female no more. We know that that's not the case. Because Paul tells us there is difference between men and women. There is a head of household. There is the man of the house. There is, hallelujah. So there is a difference in roles. But he's talking about here, there's no difference in salvation. In salvation, God will save a man, he'll save a woman. In salvation, he'll save a Hebrew, he'll save a Greek. In salvation, he'll save a barbarian, he'll save a Scythian. Follow the line of Galatians. The whole contextual element here is all about the gospel right here. That's what it's all about. All right? You don't take this and say, okay, so it don't even matter that we Hebrews anymore because now it don't matter because we all just, there's no longer, no. It don't matter in regards to salvation. All right? Because I like to see that woman of God go home and say, listen, you ain't telling me nothing. You ain't no head of household. There's neither male or female in Christ. And I'm going to tell you what to do now, just like you're going to choose to tell me. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all getting this? So from a eschatology standpoint, as God in the last days is awakening his people, there is great difference between Hebrew and Gentile, especially when he says that they're going to be a stopping point when they stop coming in and a starting point when he began to restore us back again. There's a tremendous difference between Hebrew and Gentile. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. But in the area of salvation in church is one. We get saved the same way. It's not us. We keeping the law and they don't have to keep the law for some reason. Nah. It's one faith, one hope, one baptism in regards to salvation. He says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is the switch right here. 29, and then we gonna go. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent me. And Peter, big brother, standing in front of them Roman, and he say, look, it's unlawful for me to be here, but God had given me another revelation, so I'm here. And the big brother say, now what y'all call me here for? You understand what I'm saying? What's up? Peter want to know what's happening. All right? And let me read to you what Cornelius said. We're going to pick up with Peter. Look at verse 30. We're just going to read. Just follow with me. When Peter said, what's up? Cornelius opens up. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. Watch this. Until this hour. When Cornelius met the angel, he was fasting, and he never stopped fasting. All right? And at the night hour, I prayed in my house. I was praying at the night hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He's going through his story. and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Cornelius tells Peter that the angel said, send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou wert come. Watch this, and this is the last thing we're going to cover. Cornelius tells Peter, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. All right? All right? Just to conclude, my prayer is that just like God got the Gentiles ready to hear the gospel and to get ready for this new dispensation they're about to get on, I pray that God will do the same thing to bring the gospel back to the Hebrews. Cornelius was so ready to hear Peter because an angel had spoke to him. First Lady, wouldn't it be right if God would get the Hebrews ready? If he'd send an angel? If he'd send an angel, if he'd speak through the Holy Spirit, and he'd tell the people of God? Because you see, Brother Alexander, they got many people talking out there. They got so many voices out there. And everybody claiming to be a messenger, everybody claiming to be anointed. There's so many voices out there. My prayer is that God would make it clear. I'm praying right now the same way he got the Gentiles ready for the revival that was going to be happening to them. I pray he would get our people ready. Would you stand in agreement with me for a moment right here? All right? Father God, we all agree right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding that you know respect of persons. And we asking that the same way you got Cornelius ready. Cornelius was ready for what Peter had to say. He said, we've all gathered together to hear what you got to say, to do what you command us to do. God, our people need. They need that type of push, God. They need to know who's real and who's fake. Who's hearing from you and who's not. So, God, we pray. Send your angel, God. Send the Holy Spirit, God. Give visions, dreams, and revelations, God. You said in the last days that you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh. Our sons and daughters, hallelujah, would prophesy. Our old men would dream dreams. God, in the name of Jesus, we need you right now. We can't do this third wave revival without you. Send your angel. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Let your people know who's speaking with your voice in these last days. We pray it now as we gear up to go to D.C., God. Get your people ready, God. We pray it now, God, as we embark on this last 2019 with the 400 years over, God. Get your people ready, God. Let there be a whisper on the wind, God. Point to your people, the Peters that you have raised up. And I know that there are many, God. I know that there are many Peters. Show your people who's real and who's fake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Ushers. Ushers, if you will, just open up the gates. Amen. We're going to have a little altar time, and then we're going to let y'all go. Hallelujah. Well, we got communion. Mercy. Y'all should have told me something. Here we go. If you're here and you want to be saved, the gospel that Peter's about to give to Cornelius is the same gospel I give to you every Sunday and Tuesday. We all sinners. Our sin separated us from our God, but our God sent us a Savior, Yahshua Jesus. And if you'll just accept him into your heart this morning and believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, calling upon him for salvation, God will save you this very morning on the spot. That's the gospel in under 2 minutes. All God want to hear you say is yes. So if you want to be saved this morning, I'm going to open up the altar and you can come. If you're a believer and you heard some things in this message that spoke to you, you can come. If you're ready for this new anointing, amen, that's about to fall out upon us from pennies to dimes, amen, you can come as well. The altar is open. Come on up and let's pray. Hallelujah. Ushers, for communion, y'all come on up too. We're going to knock it all out in one swing, in one swing. Hallelujah. The altar is open. The altar is open. The altar is open. Come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah. Miss Grace, just wait 1 second. Just wait 1 second. I'm going to pray with him first. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Miss Grace is ready, Mom. Hallelujah. Y'all come on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, come on. We're going to pray. Glory. Here we go. Somebody say, Most High God,
Most High God.
Thank you.
Thank you
for loving me.
Thank you
for moving the law.
Out of our way.
And now, Lord,
I admit
I'm not perfect.
I do wrong.
But I know you still love me.
You love me so much
that you died on the cross
for all my sins.
I believe you, Lord.
You died,
you were buried,
and you rose again.
Lord, save me.
Lord, clean me up.
Lord, forgive me.
Give me a new heart
and a new start.
Use me for your glory.
Show me my purpose.
And take me to the next level.
Pennies are over.
I'm looking for dimes.
Take me to the next level.
I'm ready
for the switch.
Let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let it flow.
A stronger anointing.
Let it flow.
Skill and understanding.
Let it flow.
Knowledge and wisdom.
Let it flow.
Bless my hands.
Let it flow.
I'm turning
into a better me.
A stronger me.
A wiser me.
A more anointed me.
I'm not the same person
I used to be.
I can do more.
Say more.
Think more. ready now. I'm ready now.
I'm ready for the shift. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Miss Grace, Miss Kat, y'all come on up. Amen. Grab a cup of that Lord's Supper from Miss Grace and Miss Kat as they come up. Hallelujah. We also have stations in the back. Go ahead and grab you one. We're going to celebrate communion, and then we're going to get you out of here. Amen. We're going to get you out of here. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, a new you is coming. Woo, hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Woo. My God. Hallelujah. Above all, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Crucified. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. What's going on, man of God? Thank you. Good to see you now. Come on, huh? Praise the Lord. Look at Shaw, man. Appreciate you. Stand in agreement with me right here. Amen. Brother Joseph just need a little prayer. Amen. Doctors done put a bad report on him. Amen. They say it's cancer. But cancer can't live in this sanctuary. It's not welcome here. And it's not welcome on God's people. For healing is the children's bread. So God, in the name of Jesus, you say what two or more agree, it shall be done. We pray right now, you take the cross of Calvary and put it in between Brother Joseph and that sickness, that you would cut that sickness out of his body right now in the name of Jesus, that you would do it through your word, through prayer, through the anointing right now. The same power that flowed through the woman with the issue of blood, let the virtue flow now. Hallelujah. Upon Brother Joseph, all the way up and down his body, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Cut out, regulate, disintegrate every abnormal cell in the name of Yahshua Jesus. And we command those cells to get right in Jesus' name. We speak to the DNA, the RNA of every cell right now in the name of Jesus. Do what thou was programmed to do in the name of Jesus. No more abnormal growth. Do what thus said the Lord. Grow right. Reproduce right. No mass. Hallelujah. No malignant tumors. No benign tumors. Nothing but order right now. Everything line up where it's supposed to go. We reprogram you right now in the name of Yahshua Jesus. We pray if there be any sin that Brother Joseph might have participated in that opened the door for the devil to attack his body right now. We plead the blood of Jesus upon him right now. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wash away every sin, Jesus. Through the cross of Calvary. Yes, even that one. Yes, even that one. Yes. Even that one, wash him washed. Don't even think about it no more. It's all washed. It's all under the blood. Just don't even worry about it no more. He done did you like Paul. He done did you like Moses. You ain't got to worry about the past. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgiveness. Hallelujah. The sickness has nothing to hold on to now. There's no more foothold, no stronghold for it. The sin is gone. The enemy is defeated. Now, sickness, we deal with you. We bind you up in the mighty name of Jesus into a ball, and we cast you back to the pit of hell from whence thou hast come. And we command you to harm no other person in this vicinity, nor the person in this perimeter, nor the person on this acres, nor the person in this city. Go back, sickness, to the pit of hell. And we pray that every person in this place with the same sickness or any sickness be healed now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! Brother Joseph, you come tell me the good news now. You come tell me the good news. Hallelujah. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, take, eat. All of it. But this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. God, we remember you right now and your passion on the cross, and we thank you for it. We celebrate you together in unison, in oneness, because we love you and we love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says, in the same manner, on the same night, he took the cup after supper. He told his disciples, he says, this is the blood, the new covenant. He says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. He said, drink it in remembrance of me and all of us who are part of this new covenant. We drink it, we remember it, we're grateful for it. Because this blood is what got us in the door. Let us drink together. Thank you, Lord. 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 I'm coming back. We're going to sing that doxology and we're going to get out of here. Amen. Love y'all, Philly. Get ready, yeah. Get ready, yeah. Get ready. Miss Michelle, no, y'all get ready now. Things you couldn't do before, they open to you now. I see a master lock that was locked. It's open now. You got the combination. Come on. You want to give me? Come on. First lady want to give you a hug, Miss Kim. Miss Kathy, I'm sorry.
I'm all in the spirit. Thank you. I love you. Thank you all. I'm all in the spirit. Thank you, Father.
Maybe I saw something when I called you. Maybe I saw something. Get ready. G, can you help me out? Let's do that on three. One, two, three.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Father.
church, say
amen.
May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you, Israel. Bless you with shalom. Bless you with peace. Bless you with prosperity. Bless you. Bless you. In Jesus' name, bless you. Amen. Amen.